In an emergency, should you dial 911 or 802.11? Municipal Wi-Fi expert and author Craig Settles outlines the role of wireless technology in a crisis response situation and how Wireless Minneapolis helped authorities deal with this month's bridge collapse. This time on IT Business Out Loud.
This podcast has been brought to you by IBM. Check out our IT Optimization to Meet Business Goals white paper and learn how new technologies can support innovative business strategies. Go to ibm.com/CIO.
Hi, this is IT Business Out Loud. I'm Shane Schick. In the event of a large-scale catastrophe, how prepared are local governments and their emergency responders to cope? Communication is critical, and often those on the ground don't get the whole picture quickly enough to save lives. Municipal Wi-Fi expert Craig Settles says the right network, with the right applications and the right data, can play a crucial role in an emergency. He spoke to IT Business Out Loud's Dave Webb from his office in Oakland, California.
Okay, Craig, can you tell me what the keys are to a municipal Wi-Fi emergency response strategy?
The biggest thing is actually the planning part, kind of working through the various scenarios and defining what the data and voice needs are going to be for the different type of scenarios. So if we're talking major fire, that's one issue. If it's something that involves freeway collapsing or bridges going out, such as the Minneapolis situation, that's another set. The same way if there's a hostage situation, shooting situation, those at the office, those kinds of things. So you've got to figure out what are going to be the data needs and the voice needs, and is there the possibility then for all of the various entities that may be involved, city, local, province, whatever, that would be able to have equipment that will tie into that? So it can be laptops, it can be smartphones. I mean, we're now coming out with dual-mode phones that go between cellular and Wi-Fi and so forth. So you've got to define which technologies are going to make sense. There's also the issue of are you going to try to do video broadcasting from the scene of an incident, or are you going to have a network of cameras already in place, and then it's just a matter of tying in the nearest cameras to a particular location? For example, if a like we had a situation in California where a gasoline truck ran into the foundation of one of the major overpasses, and so had there been a municipal network in place and various webcams along the infrastructure, there could have been an immediate feed from the nearest video camera that would have eliminated the dozen or so calls that were giving conflicting information about what had happened and where it had happened. So that's another part of the planning process. You know, what kind of infrastructure are we going to put into place? And then once you have that, then they're just basically figuring out, well, what's going to be the process of getting information from point A to point B? Do you have a central office command staff that comprise of the city's IT staff and some other folks who are then coordinating what data goes from city databases out to people in the field? That might be building inspection data, so you know what the status of certain buildings are and what might be their inventory of flammable or hazardous materials might be. There might be, if traffic's going to be there, there might be some database or GIS information of the various resources that can be used to monitor traffic. You know, the utilities might, there might be access to the city-owned utilities or even a private-owned utility to have data as to where all the various shutoff points are and underground gas lines and so forth. So understanding, where things are and then how that's going to be implemented, from the staffing standpoint, then looking at it from the field perspective, what are you going to have in the field? Again, you may have mobile access points. So there are people who are going to set up emergency mobile hotspots, in essence, to be an additional source of access to be able to transmit data from the field or transmit data from the office out to the field. There needs to be some semblance of interagency cooperation, at least to the extent that everyone understands that there is a common IP resource, meaning the IP being the sort of the universal of, you know, digital communication language, if you will, that enables all these different computers and smartphones and laptops to be able to talk to each other. So if you have an agreement ahead of time that in XYZ emergency, you go to this URL or you go to this FTP site, and there is where you'll find documents that people will share, or there is where voice over the internet will originate, or, you know, whatever the scenario is going to be. But you've got to have some sort of coordination planned ahead of time in order to make this whole thing work.
So tell us about Wireless Minneapolis's role in the response to the bridge collapse earlier this month.
Okay. So two things happened at pretty much the same time. So the CIO received information about the disaster, and so she immediately called together the IT staff, and they began the process of getting information out to people in what is the equivalent of a mobile command center. So it was an emergency command center that was set up near or at the site of the collapse. And so between the IT staff and the GIS folks, they're pushing key data about traffic, about the bridge, and so forth, out to the emergency providers. The network is structured in such a way that any of those responding who have any kind of IP device, laptop, whatever, would have been able to get on the network to also communicate with each other. The provider, USI Wireless, discovered that the cellular network was pretty much jammed because they had actually tried to call the city to see what they could do to help out. And they then decided, well, then it's time to try to move as much traffic to this network as possible. So they made the network available for free. They also sent crews out to expand the network because the network is only about a quarter finished. And it, at that time of the disaster, was only covering the southern end of the bridge and the area along that southern riverbank area. So they went out and put up additional access points and also installed several cameras that the city had bought in that area to immediately begin live video feed to emergency responders from the location. And so in the big picture of it all, they were able to, I mean, everyone involved was able to push information out that was very critical to helping the people respond more effectively. They provided the capability for inter-agency, interdepartmental communication across a common line and access to common technology resources. They were able to very quickly build out an addition to the network to better cover the area in question. They also enabled a massive upsurge in the number of people using the network. So they went from 1,000 subscribers at the time of the disaster to where they were, where they had 6,000 concurrent users by nightfall. And that speaks to both the ability of the network to sustain the sudden surge of traffic and to be able to continue operating when other communication resources are down, the ability to tie people together effectively, to be able to keep up continuous communication with the people involved, so both people talking to each other and to people outside of the area, because typically anytime there's a major disaster that hits the national airways, everybody's relatives and friends from all over the country end up starting to call in and wanting to get in touch with people and so forth. And so now you have the ability to maintain maybe not ideal, you know, voice communication, at least until more people get devices that can talk over the network. But at the very least, you're getting instant messaging and email communication that's possible, and anyone that has a video cam on their Mac or other device can also do, you know, video broadcasting out to say, hey, you know, we're fine, we're this, that, and the other, and away you go. So it was very effective. I think the most impressive aspect of it all was that there wasn't really a plan. I mean, no one had really done a fire drill, to test this whole, would this work? Would it be effective? Can we keep our communication for public service people secure from collapsing once there's a sudden surge in access by the general population? Can we rebuild the network? I mean, this is really a good test, too, of, if you have a network in place and access points get knocked out as part of that catastrophe, can you go back in and quickly put that infrastructure in place? And I would contend that you can do that much easier, much more effectively, and definitely a lot faster with a municipal wireless network than trying to reconstitute cellular data network infrastructure.
Craig Settles is the president of Successful.com and the author of Fighting the Good Fight for Municipal Wireless. He spoke to us from his office in Oakland, California. That's what it sounded like this week on IT Business Out Loud. I'm Shane Schick. Thanks for listening.